Welcome back to another episode of Young, Dumb, and Righteous with your hosts, Nick and Philip. And today, with everything that's kind of happened over the last week, for anybody that doesn't know, there was a huge storm that came through Southeast America, and it went up through Tallahassee, Florida, but it really affected areas up in Georgia and North and South Carolina. And I want to say it even reached upwards of Virginia, even. So we just kind of want to be praying for those people and all, and I thought it would be a good time to mentioned the power of prayer and how powerful it can be. And to lead us into that, I'd like to start off with a verse of John 14 and John chapter 14, verses 13 to 14. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So really, to understand the power of prayer, you have to understand that if you're praying for something that you should be praying for, you know, you're not going to pray for a new car to show up at your house, and that's just obviously not going to happen. But if you're praying to be rescued out of things, if you're praying for, you know, if you're praying for the power to restrain yourself from grabbing another cookie, Lord's going to give you that. He's going to help you with those things, and he's going to help you with, you know, whatever addiction you might be dealing with. If you're going through a depression episode, if you're dealing with anxiety, the Lord's there to help you with that. And if you're praying for those things, the Lord can help you with that. And there's power in that prayer. You know, if it hasn't rained in you know, 2 months and your crops are dying outside, and, you know, that's your livelihood and you're feeding your family, and maybe you help out the neighborhood by growing this farm, and you're praying to the Lord, please let it rain so I can help these, you know, so I can help these people, so I can feed my family. The Lord's going to look at that, and he's going to say, he's going to bless you with rain the next day. That is the power of prayer. And that's, you know, how you should be using that, you know, to truly help yourself, not just gain materialistic objects.
And we often forget just how powerful it is. I feel like, especially in my situation with, you know, running a business and stuff, there's a lot of times when I feel overwhelmed or I feel like there's not enough business, and I'm always trying to scavenge around and find different ways to figure things out on my own. And it's like we forget that we're not on our own. And the God of miracles for Jacob and Abraham is also the same God that we have. And that's also the same God that we serve. It feels like that sometimes we only pray when there's no way out, and big situations like a hurricane or some kind of catastrophe or, loved ones passing, that seems to be the time when we think to pray. But we often forget that prayer is just conversation, and it's just talking to God. And that's supposed to be something we're supposed to be doing moment by moment. And every day, you know, before work, during work, and after work, wake up and you thank God for waking up another day, and you just pray that you would have the energy and the mental stability to make it through the day, and he'll satisfy that as long as you keep your eyes on him. And like you said, he's not going to just always lay something at your door. He's not going to give you a gift. He's going to give you a way out, and he'll show you the way out. And he feeds the birds every day, but he doesn't lay the worms in the bird's nest. But he gives the birds the opportunity, the energy, the health, and the intuition to be able to go out and find the worms. So it's a lot of times it's kind of like a correlation of realizing, okay, he's given me the opportunity. Now I have to use what he is giving me to be able to go and achieve that.
For sure. I mean, and to kind of summarize essentially what you just said, God doesn't give gifts. He gives opportunities. Mm-hmm. You know, if you ask for $1 million, obviously you're not just going to win the lottery next day. Number one, God doesn't like gambling as it is. But if you ask for $1 million, there's actually a video of Steve Harvey saying, if you pray for $1 million today, God's like, I'll give it to you. And he's going to put it in an envelope and he's going to send it. But that envelope isn't next day. That envelope is somewhere down the line. It's in God's plan. He'll let you know when you're ready for that $1 million. And he's going to line up things in your life to achieve that. And if you don't hit those goals, if you don't take those opportunities, then you may never receive it, or you may receive it 20, 30 years down the line, you know, from when you had actually asked for it. At the end of the day, God doesn't care about material things. God doesn't care about money. He doesn't care about gold. But God does care about your prayer. And as Nick touched on there, we shouldn't just be praying when things are going bad. We shouldn't pray every time there's a catastrophe. We should pray when there's catastrophe, but we should also be praying when things are going good in our lives. You know, if you've woken up a week in a row and you've had nothing but good days, you've had nothing but sunny days, you've had nothing but friends, you know, around you saying, hey, man, I love you, man. Thank you for being in my life. Those are things to look to God and to say, you know, thank you. Thank you for those things. And Lord, I don't know why I'm so deserving of all these of all these blessings that you have given me, if you wake up today and you're able to have three square meals, that's something to thank God for. You know, in a day you might wake up and, you know, there's not food sitting, you know, in your fridge. Although those are rough times, and not saying you shouldn't pray during those times, but it should be a reminder to say, you know, when I do have food in the fridge, when I do have, you know, people around me that love me, when I do have family that cares for me and checks in on me, those are also times you should be praying and saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you for these blessings. And not to continue to ramble on that.
Yeah, but like prayer isn't just like a call for help. It's just, it's a way for life. It's a way of life. And there's power in prayer, especially for the one that has the faith. And like that faith is, that's the root of it all. And that's ultimately what our salvation is rooted in. And so that same faith that saved you is also the same faith that can move the mountains. That's the same faith that can part the sea and make what looks impossible become possible. Because ultimately he overcame death. The one thing, you know, that is impossible is you can't come back from life. You know, you hear of people being resuscitated, and they come back after 10 minutes and then they have brain damage for the rest of their life. He rose from the death 3 days later after his body should have already started rotting. And not only did he was raised to life, he rolled the piece of earth away and came out and ascended into the heavens. And that same like spirit that dwelled within him is also the same spirit that dwells within you. So, you know, take advantage of your faith. And use that for the beneficiary of you and the people around you. And not only, you know, like we're saying, when you're trying to pray for a way out, but giving thanks. Thanksgiving is what overcomes your anxiety. And anxiety comes from not realizing how much you have already been blessed. The most common thing I see, especially in my life, is being bamboozled by the blessing. And he blesses you over and over, and he makes sure everything's taken care of. And here I am sitting here worried about tomorrow when all you have to do is give thanks for what he's already given you. And he will restore the peace in your mind. And it sounds like it sounds so far-fetched. That's the hardest part to realize. It sounds very far off. But once you can understand that this is true, and the creator of the universe promises this to you, then it makes things a lot easier. Because like you said, it's not going to happen, you know, the next day. It is all going to be on God's timing. And a lot of times we lose faith because it's not happening when we want it to happen. And in worldly aspect, what anxiety is and where anxiety comes from is a lack of control. So if you are feeling anxious, you feel like there's things going on in your life that you can't control. But if you can trust in God, you know, God's in control. What is there to worry about? And then if the anxiety comes onto you, that's when you take that action step and you say, okay, well, through this, you've given me a roof over my head. You've given me family that loves me, food to eat. I'm blessed. And biblically, Thanksgiving gets rid of anxiety, but also scientifically, giving thanks also gets rid of anxiety. It's the same part of your brain that becomes anxious is also the same part of your brain that gives thanks. So realize how blessed you are and keep praying. We're called to be prayer warriors, not only for ourselves and our family, but for others. If you see someone going through a transgression, and even if you don't even have the details or their first name, you can still pray for them. We serve an omniscient God. Hey, God, pray for that man sitting on that bench that I saw on 3rd Street earlier. He knows what you're talking about. You don't have to mention his social security number to get the identification of this man, you know, and it's take notes. That's one thing too. I want to be better at it's throughout your day when you can see something and understand that could use prayer, write it down. Because I feel like a lot of times when I pray, I tend to rush through it and I miss a lot of the things I was thinking of through the day and only the things that I'm thinking of right now. But we should be using prayer like it's nobody's business. You know what I mean? We should be praying over people at red light. Like that's what it should be. And if we truly could fully comprehend how much prayer there was or power there was in prayer, we would do it a lot more.
Oh, For sure. And kind of what Nick touched on there, there's a verse in James chapter 5, verse 16. It says, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." So by praying over other people, as Nick said, you're giving thanksgiving. You're giving thanks. And that same part of your brain that would become anxious is now going to be lit up with happiness. It's going to be lit up with joy. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be thinking of all positive things because you're praying over this person that may be down on their luck. They, you know, may have lost their job. They may have had all these bad things happen to them. But by praying over them and by giving them the, you know, the opportunity for the Spirit to come in between, to intercede in their life, to give them blessings, to take them out of that situation, by opening them up to that, that is a form of love. That is a form of, you know, true joy and happiness in a person, and it's, you know, the works of someone. And something I know a lot of people probably struggle with is the fact of what should I pray for? And it tells us here in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, and we've touched on this verse before, but I want to mention it again. It says, "For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." So, you know, when you're struggling of what to pray for, you're like, well, my life's going fine, or, you know, or I want to pray for this other person, but what do I say? You know, what do I ask for? That's when you reach out to the Spirit, you reach out to God to say, hey, you know, speak, you know, let me speak to you freely, open up my mind, open up my heart, and the Spirit himself will intercede for you, and he'll pray for whatever needs to be prayed for at that time.
That's a crazy verse, because honestly, I don't even remember that verse, but I can just think of like the different times that I've just been praying in deep prayer, and it's like I run out of words, but I'm not out of prayer yet. Like, I'm out of words, I don't know what to say, but my eyes are still closed, hands still open, and the work is still being done. And it's like my brain is saying, okay, well, I don't know what to say, but I'm going to sit here because I feel like everything I need to be praying for hasn't been touched yet. And that kind of fills in that blank by him saying, you know, that's the Spirit taking over and covering, because he said the groanings that are too deep for words, because there's a lot of pain and, you know, issues that we go through that we can label some of them, but we don't label everything to create the whole entire, what has created all this. So the Spirit gets down into those details that you can't even, you know, resurrect to put into that prayer. And it's interesting, just the power that's in that Spirit. And when people can feel that Spirit too, that's one thing, is how he's talking about praying over other people and that being the greatest form of love. The greatest form of love is laying your life down for someone. And that's already been done for us. We've already been displayed the greatest form of love for you. Now, our duty is to go display that love onto others. And not only as a witness of what it's done to us, but by utilizing our faith, we can show them how it can also affect their life. And a lot of times when you pray over people, It's almost like you get like a kind of a laughy response out of people, because it's like people, especially people that aren't extremely like deep rooted in it, they don't really understand that I'm like trying to make something happen. And yeah. I'm not saying me, but like anybody that says, I don't care what you think or what anybody else thinks, I'm praying right here because I know there's power in that. That is the faith of that person. That is nothing more than that person's faith coming out and saying, hey, I don't care what anybody thinks of me. I know this needs to be done, and I am the vessel and the hands and feet that is here to be able to do this. And I've been gifted with the power to be able to do this. This is just really just a reminder to remind you guys that we ourselves, we have power among us. Like I said in the last one, other religions see like the disciples as having power. They see them as holy men, and they're not to be worshipped, but they did have power, and it's that Spirit, same Spirit that lives in us. When the disciples were going around and praying over people, you know, people were being healed, and we all have different gifts. You can read about, you know, all the different gifts that the Spirit gifts people with. And we're able to utilize our gifts with prayer to be able to work on ourselves while building up others.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, it's kind of crazy. You had mentioned there somebody that can say, well, I'm going to pray right here, right now, no matter what anybody else thinks. It's such a great mindset to have, because I think a lot of us have been in situations where maybe we wanted to do something, but we're a little bit too nervous, or we're a little bit too shy, or we don't want other people to perceive us as something, you know, whatever in their mind. But having the faith to sit down and say, I'm going to pray right now because that's the right thing to do. Like, that's even something that I struggle with today. I didn't grow up in a family that, you know, prayed over their food every single meal. And now I have started doing that with certain people in my life. You know, we'll go out to eat and we're the only ones in the restaurant sitting there, you know, praying over food. It feels so awkward even now. But now I realize, I'm like, that's the right thing to do. You should be blessing your food. You should be thanking God that, hey, thank you for allowing me to have the money to come out to eat and be able to tip this waitress. Maybe she's, you know, trying to provide for her family, and this $5 or $10 is going to go a long way to help her out. This meal is going to provide nourishment for me. There's cooks in the back that are earning a salary off of me, you know, ordering the stuff. So by doing that, you're praying over not only thanking God for the meal, but you're also thanking the people who are involved in the preparation and making of that. There's such an importance to that because, like I said, that waitress has a family that she's probably trying to provide for. There's cooks in the back that they have families that they're trying to provide for. They have car notes and they have mortgages or rent and all these other things going on. And by praying, you know, praying over that food is an extension, praying for all the people in extension to that. And I think that's something a lot of people don't know, really recognize.
I think there's a depth to it that's too deep for words.
Yes.
And I think that's really all it is when you pray, like, you don't know what's happening on the other side of that prayer.
No.
Like, we don't have a stat sheet on the turnover of all our prayers from all of our lifetime, or our family's prayers, or people that have, like, prayed over you. And it would be really, it'd be interesting to see, like, what has actually happened because of prayer. And I think it would make us open our eyes, because what, like I said earlier, is it's not an instantaneous thing. So it's not like we pray and then it happens. So it's kind of hard for us to visually see it. So that's when the faith has to happen, because if you don't have faith, you know, you're a seeing is believing kind of person. You're not going to find power in prayer, because the power in prayer is in the faith. You know exactly what I mean? And that's what it's found in.
Faith isn't tangible.
No, it's not. And that's the hardest part for human beings to understand, is like all the value that's in this is not something that you can hold in your hand. It's not a Bible. It's not a cross necklace. It's not a church. It's not anything like that. It's a literal spirit, right? So it's like this, as we're living in the third dimension, who knows, it could be the fourth or fifth, you know, it could be the other dimensions. There's a spirit. The whole earth is ran by spirits, but the most powerful one lives inside of you, and you're able to overcome anything that gets in your way, anybody that comes against you, because he is for you and he's already won the victory. But like when he was saying about praying about others, this is just kind of an instance for me when I realized, like, it was working. So at my church, we were doing a one more thing, and it was to be praying for your one more, the person that, you know, doesn't know Jesus, but you want to have a relationship with him. And my prayer list was four people, and it was four people that have not stepped foot in a church in over 10 years, four people that just kind of denied him in front of me. And I prayed on these people for months on end, over and over and over. And some of these seemed like lost causes. And it seemed like time, like as time went by, I would get one hint of the spirit working in that person. And you know what's crazy? It hit all four of those people over the months happening. So one of them, you know, he's a friend I've been trying to get to come to church, and I've just been praying on him. And then he finally, after a year of asking, said, yes, I'll come with you. And then the other one, he's a guy that moved away from me, and I used to try to, you know, preach life into him all the time, and he just kind of turned me away. I prayed for him for months and months and months. And then he started following our podcast and listening to our podcast and following our account. And then, you know, another one's a family member I thought was somebody I love more than, you know, most people. And this is somebody that was also, you know, denying God and praying on this person continually. And even when I, you know, was thinking, you know, there's no way, but I just kept pursuing it. And then that person began to ask for prayer. And then, you know, it was pretty much like this prophecy was fulfilled on all four people. He told me, he said, pray for these people and don't give up. Keep going. He said, show me your faith. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to keep doing this. And even in the times when I feel low, and that's the hardest part to understand about faith. It's not when you're like on this like religious high, like when you're at church and you're at the altar and you're praying and you feel like the Spirit's moving in you. Like, that's not when your faith is the strongest. Your faith is the strongest when you don't feel it. Yeah. Your faith is the strongest when you don't hear His word speaking straight into your ears. Because He said, when He was talking about the disciples, He said that they had faith because they saw Me face to face. But yeah. He said the people that have faith and they can see nothing, the people that still believe and they have faith when they have really nothing to be like basing their faith on, that is where the faith is the strongest, and those people will be held the highest. And when He says that the first will be last and the last will be first, as generations went down from the separation of God and man, you know, we're at the back end of it. You know, we're starting to see the prophecies being fulfilled. So we are the last, and we are the people that are technically the farthest from God, like as far as history goes. But this is the moment when our faith can be the most impactful. This is the moment when our faith can start making the biggest changes on the earth. Because what Jesus said is, all these miracles I did, that same faith that Me and these disciples have, your faith is going to do more. And He said that. Like, He said that you, the followers of Me, are going to do more to this world than Me and My disciples have ever done. And that's something we have this idea that, like, you know, disciples and Jesus, they did all this whole, like, crazy, you know, mass moving stuff on earth. But this was all just kind of like a startup example of what we can do. You know what I mean? And He's calling us to action now. There's a reason that we're called, you know, soldiers for Christ. We're sent onto this world to take up our armor, fight off the enemy, and use our faith to help love on others and to pursue the kingdom and further the kingdom of God.
That's something, you know, and kind of like what you said there, the apostles were so lucky to have Jesus there as like a tangible, like they could touch Jesus, they could talk to Jesus, they could, you know, handshake, wash His feet, they get their feet washed by Him. They had all these things that they could, you know, reach out and touch and see and feel. And even back in Moses was one of those people that had God directly speak to him. You know, in our faith, we don't have that. We don't have God directly speak to us, literally from the sky, just say, hey, don't smoke that. Hey, don't drink that. Hey, lead these people here. Moses had that. We didn't even have that. And so by having faith in something you can't see, something you can't touch, something you can't hear, that is, I mean, above anything else, that is faith. You know, when you're sitting at your home, and for somebody like me, I struggle with marijuana use. When you're sitting at home and you have, you know, a joint in front of you, or if you have, for me, it was edibles, it was, you have something like that in front of you and you're like, I really want to do that. But you go, God, help me out of this. God, I know You can do this. When you feel that, when that pressure is on you, when Satan's tempting you the most, you feel the furthest away from God that you've ever felt. When you feel like there's no way out of this situation, you're struggling with your addiction the most. It's your faith in God that can take you out of it. It's through that prayer that can take you, you know, in that situation to go, I don't need that, and throw it away. It can take you from that situation and literally and burn it and destroy it and get rid of it. It's those moments and it's those prayers and the power in that prayer and the power in that faith and prayer together that lead you out of those situations.
And the Bible says that there is no temptation that man is not able to overcome. You know, He was tempted in every single way, but He was able to keep His eyes up and keep pushing through. And I know there's a lot of times when, you know, the temptation comes onto us and we feel like it's overbearing. But when you can realize that you can pray about it and He's going to offer you a way out, you know, like if you're in a situation like that and you pray about it, He's not going to make the joint just boop disappear. But, you know, He might have like a friend text you and say, hey, you want to come do this? Or He might have like a really interesting TV show that comes on and you just start, you know what I mean? It's always something so small that like you can't even realize it. But when, from my, like my experience in situations like that, he always will show some kind of small route out. And it's like, I know in my head that that's the right way out. And I'm like, I believe it, but I still don't do it. And I think the difference, like with faith, like faith is just like truly believing that that's what's right for you and that there's no other way than to do what is right. And I feel like we all believe that there's power in prayer. But like the devil believes that there's power in prayer. Like it's there, it's faith is something deeply rooted to like the roots of your heart. And when
I think prayer without faith, what you're trying to get at is prayer without faith is meaningless. You have to have both of them together to get it.
Yeah.
That makes sense. By having faith that God can do it, that makes your prayer valid. Right?
Yeah.
So, and there's actually a verse that goes along with this, but I wasn't sure if you had any more to add.
Yeah.
A verse that kind of goes along with this in Matthew 17, verses 20 to 21, it says, "Because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." That kind of spirit comes out only if you use prayer and fasting. So I want to emphasize the prayer part of that on this one, and to say that, like it said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, as small as a mustard seed, and anybody that doesn't know, a mustard seed is like as small as your, you know, fingernail. The faith of that alone, with prayer, nothing is impossible to you. Anything is possible. You can say to that mountain, move from here to there, and it'll move, right? So, obviously, that's probably not going to happen, but if you have that faith to say, Lord, help me out of my anger issues. Help me go through today without, you know, slapping somebody. You know, if that's how bad it is for you. And I have days like that. I have days where I'm just so irritable and pent up and all I want to do is, you know, just rage out on somebody. But by turning to the Lord and saying, Lord, I know you can help me out of this. I know by sitting here and laying my anger into your hands, you'll transform that energy into something more positive. You know, instead of, you know, lashing out at somebody today, maybe I can help that person, help somebody out on something. Maybe I can offer some words of wisdom to somebody instead of saying, hey, you hurt me today. You did this thing 2 months ago that is now coming to fruition and it's aggravating me. It's been on my mind all this time. I can take that and say, that person wasn't right then and I'm not right by lashing out at them. And that person still loves me because they wouldn't have done this thing if it hadn't been out of love, right? There's been times where maybe you wanted to lash out at your parents. There's been times maybe you wanted to lash out at a close, you know, your brother, your sister. You know, maybe they said something to you that just wasn't right. By taking that anger and by putting it into God's hands, God can say, hey, that's your family. You know, that's your brother. You shouldn't say, you know, I don't want you in my life anymore because they, you know, they brought up something that maybe it pissed you off, you know, 2 months ago, excuse my language, but maybe something that, you know, really aggravated you 2 months ago. If they brought something like that up, just let it go. And you can say, if that's still my brother and I could, you know, maybe I can help them out. Maybe I can offer a verse to them and say, hey, you know, we really need to just let bygones be bygones. And by putting that into God's hands, God can allow that to happen. It can allow those things to de-escalate. And he can take that thought out of your head and throw it away, throw it in a trash can, burn it. And hopefully allow you to forget that or put it so far in the back of your mind, it'll never come back up again.
Yeah, ultimately, like, if it's in God's will, it'll happen. Like, there's a lot of things we pray for and we feel, you know, we feel down because it doesn't happen. But then you have to understand it wasn't part of his will. And if it was, it is going to happen, but it's on his timing. So like you said, like, if you're dealing with something as, like, an emotion or an addiction or something like that, that you really need the interception of the spirit to come in, it will come in. You know, and it's, there's still going to be like the same way that Christ died for our freedom, but he called us to walk into it. He sets you free in that moment, right? So he says, okay, I open the jail cell, now walk out of it. So like when you're feeling overcome with anger, Jesus, take this away from me. He takes the key, he opens the door and it swings open and you're still standing there in the back of the cell, just, you know, stirring up in this. And he's like, okay, it's open. Now walk out. You know what I mean? And so it's like the little action step he gives us. And that's the coolest part of it is all the power is found in him. We just have to use what we've been given to be able to move into that. You know what I mean? But we really appreciate you guys tuning in for this episode. We hope we're able to encourage you guys, you know, to just remember the power that's in those words and remember to use that walkie-talkie to God. And this goes for us as well. And again, just we hope you guys have a blessed week and thanks for tuning in on another episode.
I do want to say, actually, before we close, I think it's only appropriate on this one. Maybe we do something a little bit different. Nick, if you want to end us with a prayer and we just remember those that are affected by the storm today. And
yeah, absolutely. Dear Heavenly Father, we come here, me, Philip, and those who are on the other side of this podcast, Lord. And we just open up our hearts and our minds to you, Lord. And we ask that you would hear our cries for the people that need the help of your hands, Lord. And we pray that the people that are at your hands and feet would just be moving diligently, Lord. Lord, we just pray for those who feel lost, Lord. We pray for those who feel hopeless in times like this, Lord. And we pray that you would accompany them, Lord, and let them know that they're not alone. Thank you, Lord, just for me and Philip being able to get on here and to be able to be spoken through, Lord. And we just pray that anybody on the other side of this podcast, that they would take these words seriously, Lord, and that you would be able to move in them and through them as well, and that they would be able to become disciples and create other disciples. Thank you so much for your love, Lord, and your forgiveness and the salvation that you've offered us, Lord. We pray these things in your holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. We love you.
Peace.